of Hebrews chapter 12. We'll bow in prayer. Our Father, our hearts are heavy today as we have considered the events that are going on around us and which legislators and politicians and interest groups are putting forward. We know, Lord, that Thou art the giver of life. And in Thy purpose and time, life will be taken. And Lord, we ask for understanding and help and courage in our day to stand. We pray that those who are in charge of making laws in our land would be led and guided by the Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, that You would overrule in these cases. We are powerless ourselves, Lord, but we come to the One who is almighty, all-powerful. And Lord, this day in Jesus' name, we pray that Thou would intervene to protect those who are vulnerable, those who are less able, and even those people who put forward they have the right to terminate their own lives. Oh God, we know what Thy Word says about this. And therefore we pray, Lord, give to each one of Your people wisdom. We do ask again for those who are nurses and doctors, that great wisdom would be given to them at these times. And help them, Lord, to do what is right according to Thy Word. And I pray, Father, that each one of us will be about the responsibility of praying for those in authority, for praying for the intervention of Thy Spirit in our governments, in our political arenas. Lord, help us. We know that Thy kingdom is not of this world. And yet, Lord, we have been called to be light in a dark place. Help us, therefore, to shine brightly. Lord, fill us with the Spirit of God each day and give us that clarity of thought. Give us, we pray, O God, earnestness as we come before Thee and pray in the secret place. For Thou hast promised when You hear in secret, You will make known outwardly and answer these prayers. So bless us now, Father. And as we come before the Word this morning, encourage every heart. Speak to those who are still without Christ. We pray for clarity, understanding in these matters. Give me help this morning, Lord, I pray. Forgive me for my sin. Cleanse me from every iniquity. Let there be nothing to hold back, Lord, I pray. Blessing upon this people this morning, upon this church, upon our witness. Grant to us, Lord, Thy power. So hear our prayer now and be with us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Hebrews 12, please, and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the marathon of faith. Running the race, the Christian race. And those of us today who are saved by the Lord's grace, who know Him, then we have an application in this word to our hearts this morning. You know, the Holy Spirit often used sporting illustrations to convey truth. The competitive human spirit is not an evil one, but it was given by God for good. And it often has fueled innovation and discovery. And now we know that we can so often abuse these things, and they have been abused because of the evil and sinful heart that we are all plagued with. But, you know, being part of life, the Lord uses these things, and He will select these illustrations for us to teach spiritual reality in our lives. And so the marathon race was one such race, I believe, that the apostle had in his mind as he is writing the words of Hebrews 12 and 1. And we need to think about this particular race that we are running. It talks about a cloud of witnesses. This, a group of noble spectators. We've been thinking much about them in Hebrews 11. We've taken quite a bit of time in our study to consider about these people, men and women of faith, raised up from many different time periods, and yet they had this in common. They saw the Lord who was invisible, and they saw Him with the eye of faith, and they persevered and followed the living God with their heart, and they did things that were not natural, not normal. Because God had saved them, they saw the Messiah that was to come, and they believed in Him, and they loved Him, and they served Him, and their lives were set apart for His honor. The marathon is usually lined by people on the sides. You've watched them on TV. Maybe someone has participated. But the competitors, they are all cheered along by those who are on the sidelines. And they are cheered with shouts of encouragement. They are cheered along by, keep going. Don't give up. Don't stop. The end is not far away. Press on until you cross the finish line that is near. And so, as the great cloud of witnesses spoken about here in 12 and 1 are for us in the heavens today, what are they saying to you? What are they saying to me? They're saying, my friend, do not give up. Persevere. Keep on going. No matter whether the sun is hot upon you or the storm clouds have gathered over, keep going. There is no surrender. There is no giving in. There is no quitting. We must keep on to the end. And so, my dear believer in Christ this morning, you are running in this marathon of faith. And saints from every age are cheering for you. This is no ordinary crowd. These are great spiritual athletes of all time. Those who have won the gold, the silver, and the bronze. Those who may not have placed for a medal. They don't even have a name in the Bible, but they're there. And they are cheering you on because they have run their race faithfully and they have finished. And so the word comes to you and I today, run your race and keep on going, because eventually you will find your place on the podium in heaven. God will bring you through. And so today, as we look at this race of faith, let us be encouraged to run well. Let's be encouraged to run strong. Let's be encouraged to complete the event, knowing that the Lord is waiting for us at the finish line. And He's waiting there to welcome us and to reward us. The first thing that I want to point out to you today is the nature of this race. What is it? Well, I think it kind of goes without saying that what we're speaking about here is not a physical race, but it is a spiritual one. The physical is simply used as a starting point to prove and to show you something that's going on. But when we're talking about the marathon of faith, we are talking most definitely about a spiritual journey that we are on. A spiritual competition, if you like. And because of that, it has, my dear friends, eternal significance. It has that which lasts for eternity and not just for time. And I would say to everyone in this service today, have you come to the starting point yet? Have you registered for the race? And what I mean by that is, have you come to meet the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you here, my dear friend, this morning, and you are not a Christian? You're not born again by God's Spirit. You've never come to taste and see of the goodness of the Lord in your heart. You have not even come to the point of signing your name, if we could put it that way, on the application form. You've not even registered yet. My friend, this is a vital question for you. You must come to the cross of Jesus Christ. You must come to the very starting point to receive Him as your own personal Savior. Because until you come to the cross and see that Christ Jesus was crucified there on that cross for you and you alone, and you see yourself only there, my friend, you will not have begun. And you need to start on this race. You need to come under the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus. You need to have your sins washed away. You need to have the joy and peace of your sins being forgiven. You need to know that you have a home in heaven and that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You need to come by simple faith and call upon the Lord. And I say to you and exhort you this morning, if you have not come to that starting point, my dear friend, do not delay. Start now. Begin immediately. Because, my dear friends, life is not a game. We produced a little tract last spring, specifically for the Pan Am Games. You've seen this before, and there are some on the tables out the back. Life is not a game. And to present this to people and to tell them that while we are all in this race, it's a race of faith. But to assure you that this life that we are living in, that we only have one opportunity to live, is not something that we can just say, well, I'll start over again, I'll retrain, I'll take a retest. No, that doesn't happen. There is only one opportunity. And my dear friend, the life that we are living here now is not a game. And we find that so many people are playing at it as if it was a game. But you need to prepare for eternity. You need to get on the course. My dear friends, I appeal to you this morning. Seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. There is only one door whereby we can enter into heaven. There is only one name through whom we must come to be registered for the race of faith, and that is Christ. Are you saved today? Are you born again by God's Spirit? I ask you humbly, I ask you prayerfully to consider this. And where you are seated just now, you can call out unto the Lord and say, Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And so you must come to the starting point, because this race is spiritual, it's not physical. But there's something else about the nature of this race. It calls for endurance, a life of competing. It is not a 100-yard dash, it's not a sprint, but it is a race that will take you all the days of your life. sad reality is that some people, they seem to start out on this race, but then they stop, they quit, they step aside, some far too soon. And the Lord Jesus spoke to us about the parable of a sower, and the sower went forth to scatter his seed, and some of the seed fell on the wayside. Some of the seed fell where it sprang up quickly because it appeared to have root, but as soon as the sun came out in the intensity of the day, the seed and the small plant seemed to just evaporate. It just withered. There was no root there. Others fell among the stones, and there was not much earth, and it didn't take root. And there are those who seem to start on this race, and they come with enthusiasm that, yes, this is the pathway I want to go. And it all seems so right. But my dear friend, it's not long before friends question. It's not long before the things of this world seem to creep around them and they choke off the spiritual life that appeared to be there. Where do you stand today, friend? Because this race of faith, being spiritual in nature, it requires endurance, and the endurance that can only come by the Holy Spirit that lives within. You see, when you are born again by God's Spirit genuinely, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. It is not some sort of experience that happens, but it is the abiding presence of God living within you. And when the Holy Spirit has given us life, He has brought us out of darkness and into the light and life, and we have by faith laid hold upon Christ, and He is our Savior, then we are born again. And once a person has received that life from God, that life will never be taken away. For Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So my dear friend, if you have truly and honestly and earnestly called upon Christ, you have made that spiritual appeal to Him. You're saved by His grace. Then you will persevere unto the end. Whether the going is easy or the going is hard. And the perseverance of the saints is a very important doctrine that is taught in the Word of God, that when a person is converted and the Holy Spirit lives within, God's Spirit will be witnessing with your spirit, and He will be leading you along the way. Now maybe you get to the point where you wonder sometimes, am I truly a Christian because I'm not making much progress? I haven't been attending church regularly. I haven't been really attending myself to the Word of God or to the things of the Lord. And there's been almost a fog that has come upon your life. But you remember back some years ago when you made a profession of faith. You may have declared, yes, I'm converted. But up to this point in time, there has been very little evidence of growth. And you may be called to wonder, am I truly saved? My dear friend, if that's a question in your heart today, I say to you, come back and stop to the foundation. Look again. Come back and examine your own heart. And if you're not certain, you bring that very matter to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I do remember when I called upon you many years ago, but I don't have that assurance today. What am I to do? You pray and call out to the Lord and say, oh God, reestablish, reaffirm, make witness with my heart that I truly am a Christian. I truly am saved. Because if you truly are a believer, friend, then the Holy Ghost will persevere with you. He will not let you go. Oh, you might have gone a distance from God. You may have backslidden for a number of years, but He has His hook in you, and the Lord will draw you in. Submit yourself to Him, my friend. Stop fighting and kicking against that, and say, Lord, draw me. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of, Lord, of just going through the motions of life. I'm all worn out. I've got no strength left. Oh Lord, please in mercy, draw me to yourself. Because, my dear friend, the Holy Spirit will persevere with you. For he that has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And you will grow and grow, and the Lord is making you conform to the image of his Son. If you have broken fellowship with God for some reason, if your heart has been cold like a stone for a long period of time, it is time, my dear friend, to repent and to seek the Lord with all your heart and to call out unto him, O God, renew, restore, help me, I pray. We have this great hope that Christ is in us. He is our hope of glory. This is a spiritual race that we're involved with, my dear friends. And I want you to notice, secondly, that in this spiritual marathon of faith, there is preparation that is needed for us in this race. Please look at our text, Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Oh, may these words sink down into our hearts. Because, my friend, there is preparation, there is training needed for us in our marathon run. The athlete knows that to perform to the top of their game, they must train with all their heart. Determination to succeed is one thing, but without self-sacrificing, without the self-sacrificing preparation, the goal will not be met. What do they have to do? They must intentionally remove every weight that would hold them back in training. What does this mean? Well, for the athlete, they're going to be sacrificing their time. They're going to be devoting their time to the race that they're intending to run. They are not only going to be sacrificing their time, but they'll be sacrificing their love for sleep. Yes, those early mornings when the alarm goes off and you know you have to get up to begin training, it's a lot easier to hit the alarm and go to the snooze and just lie on in bed because it's hard to get out of the covers when they're warm and it's cold outside and you have to go and begin training. It's hard. It hurts. It's not easy. But the athlete knows that if I am going to get to my goal, I must do these things which are hard. I must sacrifice my time, my sleep. And I'm also going to have to sacrifice my comfort food, junk food. I'm going to have to apply myself to a diet, a nutritious diet. I'm going to have to take care of my body, to plan, to prepare, to train myself to reach my goal. And that's all part of the training. And when it comes to the race day, what do? Do they put on their construction boots? Do they put on the heavy coat? Do they wear all the other essentials, the cell phone, the everything else that goes with the day's activity? No, those things have to go. They take off those things. They put on the lightest shoes they can. They put on the lightest clothing possible. They take off every other thing that is not necessary for that particular run, and then they will begin their race. You see, this is exactly what the Lord is trying to show us here by using the illustration of the marathon runner. For the Christian, this race is one that if we're going to be running in, we must prepare ourselves and cast off the weights that hold us back from serving and living for the Lord. What does this mean? It means, first of all, that there are some legitimate things that can hinder us. There are weights that are around our necks, that are on our bodies, in our spirit. Legitimate things. Life itself is in the employment of good things and the pursuit of, well, wealth and saving, things that we need to have to survive, things that are not bad in themselves. But the danger is for us always to get these things out of proportion, to get these things out of order. The proverbial saying of the cart before the horse is so clearly understandable to many. What is it that can and needs to be watched over very carefully? We all have to work. The Lord says, if a man shall not work, neither shall he eat. And so work and business are things that are very important for us to be diligent about. But it's easy sometimes for work and business and those things to become distractions to us, to the point where we miss out with the Lord. And sometimes when we're engrossed in so many things that have to do with this life, we are getting our roots down a bit too far into this world. There can be ventures and schemes, and, well, before long, the legitimate thing has become to us a weight. It's become like an anchor around our necks, and it's slowing us down from serving the Lord. If we will be involved in this race, we must be careful to allow these things not to take over. The Lord tells us that if riches increase, set not your heart to them, because they make themselves wings and they fly away. And those things that we look at and see are blessings from the Lord, and indeed they are, we have to be careful that they don't get out of order for us. But the danger is also to those who may not be so well off. Maybe those that don't have an abundance of riches or wealth. And how so? How does it affect them? Well, because maybe you might be caught in the vortex of striving to get to some place or to get to some attainment that you haven't yet arrived at. And your focus might be the striving to get to that place in a temporal way, and so much so it becomes a weight that's hanging around you. And the failure you're going to find is you fail to enjoy the Lord. You're failing to do His will and the purpose that He has for your life. Industry is important. It is very good. But we must always pray that God will give us the balance in our life so these things do not become out of order. Oh, not only the work and the business, there are personal distractions that we all have to deal with. The responsibilities of home and of family, that if they get out of order, we lose sight of the glory of God. We lose sight of serving Him. When family comes before the house of the Lord, then we have to be very, very careful. The Lord has set aside His day. He has set aside His house and His day for the worship of Him. And sometimes it's very tempting for family to have other family members coming over to visit for dinner. They might have other plans that they make on the Lord's day. And instead of saying to the family or friends that have come over, we are going to depart now, we must go to the house of the Lord to serve Him, other things come up. And it becomes an easy habit sometimes to allow these other things that are not important to become weights that hold us back from living for the Lord, from serving Him, from doing His will. These are problems that each of us have to deal with, because believe me, the devil is never going to tire in trying to bring those distractions before our minds. And if he makes us or leads us and tempts us to do it once, Maybe the next time is a bit easier, and the next time after that, and we have to be very careful. Because if family or friends or these things that are on them surface good things, but if they come in the place of the Lord, they become bad things. They become a weight to hold us back. And so, my dear friend, where is your heart and determination in service, in honor to the Savior, to honor His day, to honor His house, to honor the place of worship? There are obligations that face us in general. Doing too many things and not doing any things right. You know the phrase, being a master of all things or a master of none, a jack of all trades. Well, that certainly applies to us sometimes. We need wisdom to balance these necessary things in our life so that we will not be weighed down and not be held back. Yes, this is something that we must be very, very careful about as we are considering these things in our life. There's preparation that is needed. We are to lay aside every weight. But then it goes on to say, and the sin which does so easily beset us, sin in the life of a Christian, because that's who Paul's talking to here, sin in the life of the Christian that is going to hold us back from running in the race. What's he talking about here? I believe, my friend, he's talking about unconfessed sin. He's talking about sin that weighs down the heart. A sin against a family member. A sin against a church member. Or a friend that will result in prayer being hindered. It will result in progress being stopped. But it also results in a heart that can become hardened to the Lord. What a heavy weight this is. The weight of unconfessed sins. We need to put these things right before God and pray that the Lord will enable us by His grace to bring these things before Him and say, Lord, I want these things to be right. I don't want to have anything hanging over my head. I want to keep short accounts with God and be sure that there is no unconfessed sin. But there's another category I leave with you, and it's unrestrained sin. If you think about you were planning on going on a voyage, and you knew that going on this voyage on a ship that there would be storms that you would face. There would be currents of the sea that would be contrary to what you're trying to do. There would be icebergs in the path. And then what to say about rocks or shoals that you did not notice on the map. But worse than all of that, you have a crew that is mutinous. And they refuse to obey orders. They try to make their own captain, we could say. Or they try to sabotage the boat and they do something to the engine, or they put them in reverse. And therefore the journey is greatly hindered, if not stopped altogether. So what is the answer to this unruly crew? And I'm talking, my dear friends, about the unruly crew that abides within the heart of each one of us. The old flesh, the old nature. There are things that are in us that they want to rebel against everything that is godly and holy. They're part of us on the inside that does not want to be submissive to God's Word. There are things in us, and do we not see those bursts of temper at times? And if the temper does not come to the outward, well, maybe the temper's on the inside and you're just boiling up inside. But the other people don't really see it. But you know inside you've grieved the Holy Spirit by your bad temper, bad spirit. What about pride? The issue that every man and every woman deals with, and vanity to some degree. Selfishness. What about the sin of gossip? talking about people, spreading rumors, things that are not true. And people, sometimes as we get involved in that kind of behavior, we justify it all by having a little laugh at the end or saying something positive about the person we've just cut to pieces. It's not a good thing. It's a harmful thing. And this is a weight that is around us. This is a sin that is one of those unrestrained sins. And my dear friend, they must be brought before the Lord, because we can't progress on well in our race if we don't. But there's another category, something I'll just say is what we call secret sins. You've unconfessed sins, you've unrestricted sins or unrestrained sins, but then you've also got secret sins. Well, what do these apply to? If these are ignored, these secret sins, they will grow stronger and they will tighten their grip around our hearts, and they will burn on the inside of the soul, and they will consume all joy, and they will take away all peace from us, resulting that life will neither be good nor will it be pleasant or happy. And these sins are the result of direct disobedience and rejection of the warnings that God has given to us in His Word. And until they are confessed and forsaken, there will be no victory. There will be no progress in the life. And I don't have to say to you right now more specifically what those secret sins are, because, well, the Holy Spirit convicts us of them. And maybe right now the Lord's putting His finger upon something in our hearts. The secret sins are those sins that will weigh us down and hold us back, and they will stop our progress in the race of faith. There are also sins of omission, whereby we know as a Christian what we should do, but we don't do it. And those sins of omission, of neglecting spiritual duties, things that should be done that, well, that are intended to be done, promises someday that they will be done, but up to this point they're not done. Procrastination for some is a difficult thing and a serious hindrance, because the longer it's left, the greater it grows. It's like a pile of dishes in the sink. You keep adding to them, you don't get rid of them. They just get worse and worse. So you finally have to come and you just have to get at them and take care of them one by one and get rid of those sins of omission and take care of them. There are undone things as well. The undone parts of those things of our own devotion and prayer with the Lord. You know, it's where every point of backsliding begins in the life of a Christian, is failure in prayer and reading. It's where it all begins. It begins in all of our hearts. And so it's all in different degrees, you know, because if we don't read the Lord's Word and we go away from it for a few days or a week, and you immediately sense that there's a coldness that comes over your heart, well, those things are part of the sins of things that we know we should do, but we're not doing. But there's another category that sometimes we don't really think about, a category of sin, and is that of the weight of care and of worry. The end of this road is mistrust in the Almighty, mistrusting in God for His providential purposes in our lives. We know that stress is at a very high level today, and in these fast-paced lives that we're living in, it becomes a point of how do you manage this? And there are thousands of pages that have been written about this subject of stress, and psychologists have written books and articles about it, and it's caused a great high cost in society. But I'm talking about in the life of the Christian. Because when we are brought to the point of worrying and filled with stress in our minds and hearts, and we have no way to go forward, we're ultimately saying, Lord, I do not depend upon Your providential purpose in my life. I'm trusting You for the salvation of my soul for eternity, but I'm not trusting You for my life work. And that's where we have to come to, my dear friend, because that's a weight that will kill us. It's a weight that will stop us. It's a sin against the Lord. We need to pray that He will help us. So what is the answer to all this? It's one thing to state the problems. What's the answer? Well, the answer is given to us in our text. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Lay it aside. Well, what does that mean to lay aside those things, those weights? My dear friend, we lay them aside by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We lay them aside by casting all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. We lay them aside to the Lord by trusting in Him with all our heart and leaning not unto our own understanding. My friend, if there is one weight that will take you down, it is this one, for it leads away from the Savior. It leads down to the depths of despair and to a fearful pit of noise, worrying, doubting the Lord. Let us lay aside these things. The hymn writer said, is there a heart overbound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. And so, my dear friend, we are to come to the Lord Jesus Christ with our heavy burden. And then we are also to draw power from the Lord in order to overcome this. Come to the bank of faith. Come, my friends, and withdraw all that you need. There is no lacking in Christ to supply every need that we have. He has all for us. Faith is just leaning upon Him, looking to the Lord and drawing from Him all the need, every power that will help you through this time. One final point I leave with you this morning, and that's the discipline that is necessary. It says that we are to run this race with patience. And so in this patient race, what is necessary is that we have discipline before the Lord. We are called disciples, and we are to be disciplined before the Lord by His grace and power, coming to Christ for that power that is necessary. And it involves struggle. We are in this, we must struggle, and there's going to be pain, and there will be sacrifice that is necessary for us all. But what did the apostle say? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was our motto text for 2015. I press toward the mark. I want to keep going. I want to persevere. I am in this marathon of faith, and by God's grace, we will continue witnessing to small and great, being overcomers, for we are conquerors through Him that has loved us. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us for the honor of God's holy name. We're going to sing a hymn now in closing our service. Number 597.